Women have been playing football for more than 150 years, and it's always been political. Some have been celebrated, but others have been ridiculed, criticized, and forgotten. This is the Forgotten 11, the hidden history of women's football.
I'm not going to the White House. No.
You know, there was a lot of critics talking about us about way back, so I suck on that one.
Give me the effing ball.
Playing like a girl means you're a badass.
Welcome to the Forgotten 11. My name's Chris McGlynn. Today, we're going to go to Germany and Austria. But before we get there, thank you all for listening. If you want to see some pictures of the teams or discuss some of the topics that we talk about, please join the Slack channel. Let me explain what that is. Slack is an online chat service. It's free. You just join the Slack chat for Forgotten 11, check the show notes, and then you can talk to me directly, instant messaging, see pictures of the teams, links, things that I can't share in the show, maybe because they're copyrighted, or I don't have enough to have a full story on it, whatever it is, check out the Slack channel, can be a lot of fun, and if, you know, wherever you are in the world, you might be able to help us out with some research. Okay, so like I said, today we're going to go to Germany and Austria in the 1930s. And a little bit of a warning, there's nothing graphic or anything in the show, but I do, just so you get an idea of who this guy is, I do have a little bit of a quote from Adolf Hitler. I don't speak German, I don't know what he's saying, it's just him ranting for just a moment. So if you do speak German and he's saying something terrible, please let me know. Right, so why don't we get to the show? The aftermath of World War I hit Germany very hard. Germany was forced to sign the Treaty of Versailles, which blamed Germany for the entire war and billed them for it. It was called war reparations. The treaty limited Germany to a tiny military force with very little machinery like tanks or airplanes. But life went on. There was peace in Europe. Economies were booming around the world in the 1920s. But many Germans felt the war reparations were meant to humiliate Germany for generations. One guy, a crazy little man, wanted to overthrow the German government and to restore Germany's dignity, national pride, and manhood. In the 1920s, he started dressing in fake military uniforms. He organized a group of his followers to be his bodyguards, and they also dressed in fake military uniforms, and they fought with their political opponents and hecklers, sometimes killing them or being killed by them. Most people pretty much thought they were nuts. I mean, nobody liked the war reparations, but these guys in their placeholder uniforms and constant fighting in the street, they weren't helping anything. But then, in October of 1929, the Great Depression began. The Depression hurt people all over the world. People lost their jobs, their money was suddenly worthless. Suddenly, the crazy little man in the placeholder outfit found an audience. His name was Adolf Hitler, head of the Nazi Party. His ideas were simple and terrifying. German people were almost a separate species, and they had to be saved. Democracy couldn't do it. They would have to turn all of German society into a military machine. And they would also have to get rid of all the people who weren't German. All the people who disagreed with them as well. In September of 1930, the Nazis won an important election and became the second most popular party in Germany. In January of 1930, Charlotte Lotte Specht was 19 years old and an avid supporter of FSV Frankfurt, a local men's football club. She worked in her father's butcher shop, and one day she put an ad in the local Frankfurt newspaper. Any woman interested in forming a women's football team should contact her. About 35 women did, and by the end of the month, they formed the Deutschen Damenfußball Club, or Damenfußball Club Frankfurt, which is German Women's Football Club, or Women's Football Club of Frankfurt. We'll call them DFC Frankfurt. Lotte Specht. My idea came not only from my love of football, but above all from a women's rights perspective. I said, what men can do, we we can do as well. On March 27th, Lotte Specht appeared on the cover of a local Frankfurt newspaper in her football kit. Her boots were well worn, knees dirty. The headline, Women's Football, the captain of the first German's club. The look on her face is maybe wary. The article had this to say. The lady footballers intend to play a cheerful, combative kind of football. Whether it will be worse than hockey, we will have to wait and see. It will be interesting to see what will come of this venture. Lots of other newspapers more or less said it was abominable, in poor taste, a circus show. Shortly after the article came out, her father read it, and he was furious. People will go as far as to come into the butcher shop to heckle her and the family. One account says that previously well-behaved and middle-class young women in Germany are going crazy. Not only are they playing football, but it's in the papers. Parents and the public were furious. Lotte Specht had this to say. They were all pretty angry. We were the black sheep. They said that it was inappropriate. And in public, we were literally torn apart. After a few days, Lotte's father calmed down. He figured it was a phase. He hired someone to replace her at the butcher shop until Lotte had got football fever out of her system. DFC Frankfurt hired a trainer from a local men's team and got down to business. While the public might have been scandalized, their football brothers understood that they just liked to play football. The press called them all sorts of names. Feminists, revolutionaries, man-haters, and worse. But the male players knew that they were, quote, a group of young women who enjoy playing football and they have no beef against men. People did show up to watch them play over the summer of 1930, mostly to mock them, call them names. But they kept playing. In September of 1930, the Nazis won an important election. Over the previous 10 years, they had always used violence against their opponents. And it wasn't just the Nazis. Other groups were using violence as well. Street fights, shootings, murders were becoming normal in German society. The general atmosphere for DFC Frankfurt was becoming dangerous. The newspapers were brutal to the team. Here's Lotte again. The spectators and men even threw stones at us. The newspapers pulled us through the mud and scolded us. And because the newspapers were so mean to us, some parents forbade the girls to play soccer. Some accounts say that there were even threats against the players. Over the course of the next year, there were fewer and fewer players. By the end of the summer of 1931, DFC Frankfurt are gone. Lotte again. And then we only existed for a year. The press worked colossally against us. And after a year, the dream was over. Lotte Specht later became an actress and founded her own theater company. In 2001, the German national women's team gave the 90-year-old Lotte an autographed photo of their team to thank her for her early pioneering efforts in women's soccer. She died peacefully in her sleep in 2002. In December 1923, in Vienna, Austria, a newspaper published an article calling for any interested women to join them in founding the first official women's team in Austria. The Austrian Football Association, of course, banned them from using any men's facilities. The newspaper would offer a 2-week course in football theory and a test at the end. Anyone who passed the test would form the first Austrian women's teams. 43 women passed the test and formed DFC Diana at the Hotel Metropole in Vienna at the end of April 1924. Their coach and trainer was Ferdinand Swatosch, an Austrian international player and top scorer in the men's league in 1923. They trained twice a week with exactly the same routines that Ferdinand used with his male teams. and they had high hopes. They would invite a French team to play in Vienna by fall. But in May of 1924, the newspapers mostly stopped covering them. By the summer, Ferdinand Swatosh, who is still in the middle of his professional playing career, is transferred out of Vienna. One of the players, Pipsy Crema, took over the training sessions, and in July they play their first public match. The match was part of a larger local festival, but it seems not too many people watched this match. They played again in August, and it's not clear how much longer DFC Diana survived, but there's very little mention of them after August 1924. There's some indication that the players continue to play in private or pickup games, but Vienna seems uninterested in the women's game. This will change. In January 1935, in Vienna, a woman named Edith Klinger and some friends create the Erste Wiener Damenfußballclub, or the first Viennese women's football club. It's later renamed DFC Tempo. Although, remember, it's actually the second women's football team in Vienna, after DFC Diana in the 1920s. But back to DFC Tempo. There was enough interest in the women's football that 9 teams are formed, which is about 100 women. By the end of the spring, the teams are DFC Vienna, DFC Hertha, Vindobona, Lichtenthal, Tempo, Schwarzfell, DFC Austria, DFC Rapid, DFC Brigitte 20. They know that if they're going to be taken seriously, they would have to get good in a hurry. They enlist the help of their brothers, husbands, and some famous male footballers. They start training to learn ball skills and tactics, and they know that they will also have to win over the press. And with the press, they got lucky. Willy Schmieger was the most famous Austrian football journalist of all time. In the early 1930s, Austria's men's team was called the Wonder Team, and for good reason. They beat nearly every side that they played, and beat them decisively, 5 or 6-0. The Wonder Team were one of the first teams to play total football. In total football, any of the 10 outfield players can play any position on the field. A defender can become a striker if that's what needs to happen. It takes talented and smart players who are able to read the game together and adapt as one. And Willy Schmieger was the radio announcer for the Wonder Team matches. He was the Howard Cosell of Austrian football. Everyone knew who he was. And he declared that the women of Vienna had every right to play football. On May 13th, 1935, DFC Vienna played DFC Austria in front of 3,000 spectators. The public and the press were impressed. The women played a classic Viennese style with short passes, very much like the Wonder Team. Everyone was convinced the coaches must be players or coaches from the Wonder Team. And also by May 1935, the women have organized the first Austrian Women's League. But Edith Klinger was not close to finished. In April of 1935, she graduated from the Austrian FA's referee certification program and became Austria's first female professional referee. She started officiating both women's and men's matches in Austria, and she also tried to recruit women from other sports, figuring if you're already an athlete, you could pick up ball skills quickly and then dominate on the pitch. In 1935, the Austrian FA was not as all-powerful as the English FA. There were plenty of Austrian clubs that didn't join the FA. And the Austrian FA didn't quite ban the women's teams at first, but they did say affiliated clubs shouldn't let the women use their grounds. In March of 1936, the women's teams created the Damenfußball Union, which was the Austrian Women's Football Association. And they reached out to women's teams in Czechoslovakia and Hungary, at least trying to schedule some international matches. Which, by the way, means that women in those countries were also playing in the 1930s. In October 1936, the Austrian FA officially banned women's matches. But just like the English FA, the ban only includes affiliated clubs and grounds. With so many unaffiliated clubs and grounds in Austria, it did little to stop the women from playing. The Women's Federation scheduled their championships in May, and then hold them in 1935, 36, 37, and 38. One thing we should note, the women's matches were just 50 minutes, two 25-minute halves. And the reason for this is basically, it was a workaround, or kind of a hack. The idea was the Men's Football Association wasn't happy about women playing, but they were willing to let the women play and even provide referees, so long as it wasn't real football. In 1937, the Austrian FA, realizing how popular the women's game is, start getting sneaky. They aren't letting Ida Klinger officiate any matches, men's or women's. In February of 1937, Edith Klinger resigns as the vice president of the Women's FA, or Damenfußball Union, and by December, her friends and supporters are fed up, as is the rest of the Damenfußball Union. They call an emergency meeting in order to establish their own referee academy. At this point, they've played the Austrian FA's games, and they haven't gotten anywhere. So they demand to play full 90-minute matches, but all the referees now are from the Austrian Men's FA. The referees refuse, so for now, the women will continue to play with two 25-minute halves until they can train enough of their own referees. The Damenfußball Union, in 1937, is about to pull off a revolution in sports. They are on the verge of establishing a complete football infrastructure, pitches to clubs to refs to their own association that will be entirely independent from any men's club or association.
Dass ich fleißig gewesen bin, dass ich gearbeitet habe, dass ich mich in diesen Jahren für dich eingesetzt habe, dass ich anständig meine Zeit verwendet habe im Dienste meines Volkes.
Remember that crazy little guy in Germany, Adolf Hitler? In 1938, he's actually been in charge of Germany for several years. And remember that Germany was only supposed to have a tiny army? Well, that went out the window. Hitler still got his supporters in their dress-up uniforms, but there's also now a sizable German military. So it's sort of two armies. And the crazy little man, Adolf Hitler, is about to do something crazy. On March 12, 1938, he sends troops into Austria and declares that Austria is part of Germany. The women hold their championship again in May 1938, but in August, the new Nazi government bans women's football, which might actually be the first official government ban rather than from a football association. The Nazis declare that women should go back to work at home. Nearly all women's sports are banned. If the women do play or fans do show up to watch, they will be arrested. And getting arrested by Nazis could mean anything from jail to fines to concentration camps. Yes, the Nazis ruin everything, every time, and they ruin it completely. Hey, thanks for listening, as always. If you'd like to follow the show on Twitter, we're at ForgottenXI. If you enjoy the show, please share it with your friends, share it on social media, leave a review on iTunes. That's the best way to help grow the audience of the show. I know there's a lot of people that want to know this history. Yeah, I know there's folks all over the world listening. Feel free to get in touch. Use the Slack channel. It's open 24 hours a day. And I know I promised you a show on the Matildas. It's going to have to wait until Australia is in a little bit better condition with the heat wave that they're having. But we will get to that. In the meantime, like I said, join the Slack channel, follow us on Twitter, share us with your friends, and I'll see you next time.